Off the Ball Daily,
a home for your favourite podcasts from Off the Ball.
It's obviously a great moment for Keith Andrews. I think it's still a bit jarring for a lot of people, but I think what it is that it's also a great moment for set-piece coaches everywhere.
Subscribe to the Off the Ball Daily podcast feed right now.
The Racing Pod
on Off the Ball
with William Hill. Who you got? 18 plus. See gamblingcare.ie.
And you are welcome to episode 82 of the Racing Pod on Off the Ball with John Duggan and Johnny Ward. Remember, we're here every week with analysis, interviews, tip stories, previews and the crack. And the first half of the pod each week is free to air. The second part exclusively for members. Be sure to sign up by going to offtheball.com/join. And this week for members, we're going to focus on the supporting races at the Curragh on Irish Derby weekend. We're also going to get Johnny's charity best. Johnny, how is the form?
Very well, JD. Very well. 3 days of the Curragh ahead, for better or worse, as it were. But life's good. Great weekend of sport.
Did you grow up watching the Irish Derby? Do you remember any specific races of note?
So, as I've said before, I had no interest whatsoever in racing until I went to college, and like literally no interest. Can't remember.
And now look at you.
Yeah, Jesus, yeah. It's worked out all right, actually. I mean, imagine if you had to do a proper job. So I remember when Bobby Joe came to the Tech where I went to school in, what was that, 90, what year was Bobby Joe?
99, he won the
Sorry,
national.
99, just before I went to college. And I remember he was locally owned by Bobby Burke, and I'd no interest at all in him coming into the school or anything. And then in college, I went to the bookies out of boredom, and that's how I got into racing. So the first Irish Derby, I remember, probably Grey Swallow, give or take.
Yes,
the late
beat
Grey
North Pat Light. Swallow.
North Light, short price favourite. Grey Swallow was a fascinating horse because he was stepping up in trip. Alan Sher and Delacani is just...
Johnny Murty.
That was just... I spoke to Johnny about that race.
He loves that race, doesn't he? Because he felt he got one over on the opponent.
And it was the late Aga Khan was racing that day, and Johnny Murty basically said, you know, he might be the king in France, but I'm the king around here. And it was definitely a race that kind of Johnny Murty, it was local knowledge. And as good as Christoph Soumian is, that was a race he'd love to get back. I suppose the disappointing aspect of the race, JD, is the lack of overseas runners that you would have become accustomed to. And we saw in Royal Ascot what a difference they made, including in the big sprint on the Saturday. It's not a derby to get overly excited about, I think. But at the same time, at least there's good Epsom form there. And a very ready derby winner is there.
So first run in 1866 at the Curragh. Batty Moss won in 1957, would become a champion in Europe. It won the Ark the following year. Nijinsky won it. Shergar won it. El Gran Senor won it. Old Vic won it. Monjeux won it. Galileo won it. The Sire Frankel Australia of Allgeist, to name just three. We know that Lamborn is a son of Australia. Alam Shire, as you mentioned there, Aidan O'Brien, 16 wins in the race. Now, Curragh doesn't have Epsom's maybe idiosyncrasies and a unique charm, but it is a very fair track. I suppose one thing about it is 20 years ago, there was 30,000 people at the Irish Derby, probably about 11,000 on Sunday. Is it the wrong time of year? Is it coming too soon after Epsom? Have people like Punchestown had record crowds this year, so you can't really say it's an Irish racing problem. You've got All Ireland football quarterfinals this weekend. And Armagh, Kerry, and Meath and Galway. I mean, people will have that in their sights, possibly more so than the Irish Derby this weekend. Maybe the culture of sports fans is completely different, but it seems like the Curragh are trying lots of things. There's a fantastic new facility there. They've got live bands, they've got lots of handicaps on Sunday, but it just seems that it's just not connecting at the moment. Why is it not connecting?
The reasons for that are so myriad, like we won't have the time to do it here, but Sunday's Irish Derby card is a somewhat dystopian example of where we're at with racing in Ireland at the moment, and it's the cold commercial reality of what the Curragh have done here. And a lot has been made about the Curragh, the money that it's been losing and so on year after year. I've made this point a bit since. As much as that development cost, imagine if they were going to do it now, it would cost double. So at least it's done and it's a beautiful racetrack. So we have that and let's work from there. But because the Curragh basically, it needs to bring in money. It's a whirlpool card on Sunday. 9 races starting at 1:15, ending at 5:55. Now, if you were to do that card sober, you'd nearly want to get paid. Like, it's 4 hours, 40 minutes with one group race on Derby Day. So they've littered the race kind of with basically handicaps.
Now, to say they're having all the best races, Derby aside on Saturday. Why are they doing that then?
So they've basically made this card as competitive as possible for the Whirlpool.
What is the Whirlpool, just for the uninitiated?
The Whirlpool is basically betting in Hong Kong, basically. So I think it's worth like $500,000 a card if you can get. And this is why the Irish Derby will Coolmore will go out of its way to ensure eight or more runners for the betting of the race. And the Whirlpool is basically an online kind of tote pool, but it's primarily in Hong Kong where they really do bet. Like, they bet seriously. They put us in the halfpenny place. So
lots of people in Hong Kong will be watching the car.
Yeah, and it's, I mean, the Whirlpool is great, and we need to definitely maximise this. We have to be realistic about this in terms of the relevance of people going racing versus the relevance of people.
So the finances more so for the Derby this Sunday are coming in from an external position as opposed to racegoers paying at the turnstiles.
The amount of people paying in at the Derby on Sunday would be...
drop in the ocean then compared to...
This is where we're at with flat mares. JD, you and I had a great day at Laytown last year. More people would have... I would guess more people paid into Laytown than pay into the Derby, or certainly pay into the Guineas, because there are a lot of freebies and all of that. The Curragh is having a real challenge in getting people racing. And Leopardstown, I spoke about this earlier in the week. Leopardstown, my experience of going to York Racecourse recently for a flat card, comparing it to the only Dublin racetrack, and how far it's gone backwards in terms of really having no interest in people going anymore, from my perspective anyway, that's the way it looks. And the Curragh has a serious, serious challenge with that as well. I wouldn't be overdoing the other sports aspect of it too much, because racing has been brilliant at showing all the sport. If you go to the Curragh, it'll be like a sporting emporium inside. It's a fantastic facility. You'll be able to see all the Gaelic games that's on.
Yes, I did this 2 years ago. I watched Armagh Galway on penalties,
and it's a great
from the Curragh.
Yeah, and you can watch the Curragh. It's a fantastic racetrack. The problem with it now is that people have gotten out of the habit of going, and this is a card, I'm sorry, but it's just not a great sell. 9 races, 4 hours, 40 minutes, 35 minute gaps, even a 40 minute gap into the Derby, and one group one. And I know there's a lot to be said for a spread of winners and all of that, but this is the case where the people going racing are far, far inferior in terms of the actual merit of them going compared to what the value is of racing to people in Hong Kong and on their phones in Sedgefield in England.
Okay, so why then is Punchestown doing so well? Why is it having record crowds this year? Record crowds, like 40,000 people at the last day of Punchestown. Galway will have loads of people at there, so it's not an Irish racing thing. Listowel will have a load of people there.
A big problem the Curragh has is that people... kind of have to.
It's time of year.
There's no train line. The loss of the train line is massive. If the train line had an excursion to the Curragh from, it's basically on all the lines in Ireland where people can have a drink and relax. That's a big, big problem. So it's not that easy to get to if you want to have a drink and all of that. But it's also a flat problem, JD. The flat is just whatever it is in Ireland, it's still struggling. And Punchestown is absolutely thriving, despite the fact, I mean, it's very up and down racing. For me, people go racing more for the it's more for the experience. People don't go racing for the horses. They couldn't even get 10,000 to see the stars. Like, people do not go racing in Ireland to see good flat horses. They just don't. Simple as that. More people go to Laytown than the Guineas. They like a day out, something unique and a bit of atmosphere. And I've made this point many times. If you go racing and you bring a first timer to the racing, and his or her experience is bad and there's no one there, that's a problem, because the likelihood is that person is less inclined to go back. And the Curragh is really, really struggling. And I'm not saying there's an easy answer, but it's not a good place to be. And Leopardstown, as I say, as our premier flat meeting, is in even worse state.
Whereas Leopardstown at Christmas will be...
Yeah, but even Leopardstown is kind of struggling for Champion Stakes Day as well. It's not... But the summer evenings at Leopardstown, we saw an ace the other night, great atmosphere there for a flat meeting. If you market it, and get people to go. People will go racing if it's a good night. For me, people, there's not enough marketing, there's not enough businesses being rung and packages offered to get people racing and enjoy the experience. I went to York today, and looking at people on the infield, it cost them, I think, £8, £7, something like that. You go in, bring your own drink, bring your own food, go into the infield, make an atmosphere. It's a race course of the people, and we've lost that in a lot of these Irish meetings, where it's just the money off course is so overwhelming, and the people coming in the gates anymore isn't as big of an issue. But that's a bad place to be for me. I don't like going racing when a horse passes the post after winning a big race and you can't hear anything.
Yeah, okay. Well, the Curragh said they're doing the best, but they got a long way to go, I think, to get it back to where it was. It was the Dubai Duty Free Irish Derby now. But I remember even when I was a kid, like it was the big the Budweiser Irish Derby was the big thing.
Can be done. Like, sorry to interrupt, Jenny. There are 3 days racing. Kildare isn't an absolute haven for tourism like other parts of the country. There are 3 days of racing. The Curragh Derby Festival over 3 days could be marketed. There are so many good things to do around Kildare. Go to the National Stud, the Japanese Gardens, all of the things you could do, even from a racing or non-racing team. I know the old hotel has gone as part of redevelopment, but this could be marketed better. And I'm not giving up at all on the Curragh. I always enjoy going there. I love the facility. I love what they've done to the place. I know it has a lot of detractors. I'm not giving up on it yet, but it's not in a great place at the moment.
I think the thing is the connection with Irish people with the flat is inferior to Irish people's connection with the jumps. I think that
it is, but like I've spoken to people about this as well who are racing fans. Like the jumps to me is a harder sell in many ways now because it's so concentrated at the top. The flat actually isn't. It's more egalitarian in terms of winners, and it's way better. Like let's be honest, these horses are way faster. Like I raced at Downpatrick and I see the horses going uphill crossing the line, and like they're barely moving past you. Like jumps racing compared, flat racing is so exciting to see these fast sprints and the top quality horses, the top quality riders, the top quality trainers at a top quality race course, which Epsom isn't, Curragh is. People should be going more because for me it's still a brilliant experience. I think a lot can be done in terms of what happens when you get to the races, what the experience is like, but it is disappointing that every time there's a Curragh meet now it seems to be negativity.
Okay, before we get into preview of the Irish Derby, just news emerging this week that Kerry jockey Oisin Murphy has been charged with drink driving and failing to cooperate with the British police following a car crash in West Berkshire in April. The charge is in connection with a single vehicle road traffic collision around 12:05 BST on Sunday the 27th of April this year when a grey Mercedes A-Class left the road and crashed into a tree. 29-year-old Murphy is due to appear at Reading Magistrates Court next Thursday the 3rd of July. He's a four-time champion jockey in the UK. The British Horse Racing Authority say they're now seeking to gather as much information as possible in order to consider what, if any, implications there are as a result of this development. Murphy returned to the saddle in March of 2023, having served a 14-month ban from the sport for COVID and alcohol breaches. So, Johnny, 10 runners for the Derby. You got the each way 4:10 on Sunday. 1 mile, 4 furlongs, Group 1, same distance as Epsom. Lambourne won at Epsom, is the hot favourite to win Irish and English derbies, classic middle distance type out of Australia. Is he the penalty kick?
First of all, I should say, it's in fairness, if when you have the Epsom horses running at the Curragh, there's nothing wrong with the derby. I think maybe the point with at the moment is the middle distance horses aren't really there in Britain. Like we had the two most touted Aidan O'Brien horses at Epsom who basically didn't run the races. Lambourne was kind of half fancied, but he wasn't probably the
got the run of the race. Maybe the ground suited him, I think, as well.
But it's still a compelling race. Like it still is. You have the likes of Green Impact who's coming up, look very lazy at Leopardstown.
Jessica Harrington,
and who'd be a very popular winner. Lazy Griff was obviously second for Charlie Johnson, was second at Epsom. Pride of Arms, who was only 4-1 at Epsom, having won the York Trial. For Rafe Beckett. So there are compelling reasons for it. And Rafe Beckett also has another runner in the race, which is interesting. But I was looking back to Derby today, JD. I don't really see how this horse is beaten at the Curragh. He didn't get a freebie, per se, Lambourne, at Epsom. He had to work quite hard to get there. He looks a horse who will stay well. But if you're going into this race as a mile and two horse, I'd be worried for you. If you're going in as a mile and six horse, Lambourne just has... Like, I was a bit down on the fact that he's by Australia, low-key sire. Surely Australia won't get the winner of the Derby, but I don't really see how the form is reversed. He's an up-and-coming horse. It was his second go at a mile and two. He's beaten Lazy Griff twice, and the way he finished the race at Epsom, I think this is a very good horse. This is a very good horse.
So he should be better in Tennessee Stud, Jules O'Brien's horse, what you're saying, who was third to him at Epsom.
I tipped him up at Epsom, and I was delighted that he finished third. Some people might have gotten on each way at 40-1, and he did sort of miss the break. But he was scrambling to finish third. Lambourne was about 4 or 5 lengths clear of him. I don't really see, unless the ground turned proper soft, which it won't. And Lambourne, we'll talk to Dave later on, but Hills are top right evens. I'd be
we're talking
on.
Then maybe the horses that didn't turn up at Epsom. So Green Impact beat Delacroix as a 2-year-old, 6th in the Newmarket Guineas before winning a listed race over 9 furlongs at Leopardstown, yet to race beyond that. So that's going to be taken on trust. But there is pedigree with stamina in it, so he could be one. And the one I like as well, Puppet Master, is out of Camelot. Arrives fresh after winning the Lingfield Trial over, 11 furlongs? I think he holds an each-way chance. And in the past, Aidan O'Brien has had horses that have been second, third strings and won the Irish Derby and beaten more fancy stablemates, and also Puppet Master beat Tennessee Stud as a 2-year-old.
Well, 100% Sovereign was 2019, 33-1. Now, in recent years, the likes of Westover, Los Angeles...
Anthony Van Dijk was beaten.
Yeah, I suppose there were some horses in recent years, you're like, why? You know, this is the feel of a race where if you go to the Curra on Sunday and you go into the betting ring, the somewhat maligned Curra betting ring, there will be a bit of like maybe 5-4 about, or certainly odds against about this horse. Who knows, you might even get 11-8. There are horses you can make a case for, and Puppet Master, given that he hasn't tried the mile and a half yet, he's quite unexposed.
Lingfield has won just Lingfield, three.
And that was just shy of that, and he's improved for that. And even behind Delacroix at Leopardstown, he was only sent off 9-2, and he's a horse who stays well. It's 16-1 for Wayne Lorden. He's definitely has a squeak.
We have on Saturday as well the Pretty Potty Stakes preview. Just before we get on to that, so you're going for Lamborn. You think Lamborn?
Yeah,
you're not reading too much into it. The obvious thing is what's going to happen, you think?
The way Green Impact won at Leopardstown, he's well worth the shot at a mile and a half, but something needs to improve markedly on what he achieved at Epsom. And I don't see him not running his race. He looks a very reliable horse. And a brilliant time for Australia with Joe Murphy's winner, Royal Ascot, as well.
Yeah, so Lamborn, Johnny's pick for the Irish Derby at the Curra on Sunday, 4:10, the post time. I'm going for Puppet Master each way, both from the Aidan O'Brien stable. And the Pretty Potty Stakes on Saturday is the other Group 1 of the weekend, 3:30. The ground of the Curra, by the way, good to yielding in places. So 7 runners in this. So is this about 2 horses? Whirl, who was second to the Oaks for Aidan O'Brien, a 3-year-old, after winning the Musidora trial at York. And then Kalpana is a year older, and she was third over course and distance in the Tattersall's Gold Cup against the males on her first run of the season, and a Group 1 winner at Ascot last season. Cutting the ground would help her. But is it between Whirl and Kalpana for you?
Terrible shame we don't have that 8th runner just to make it.
Yeah.
But this race has... I like this renewal of the race. I mean, even Magical Hope. Magical Hope won at Cork 15 days ago when the nominal second string for the yard in the day. She's a filly by Frankel, who was very, very good then. And she's put in a 25-1. She wouldn't be hopeless for me. Servi coming over, who was beaten under 10 lengths in the Arc last year. That's decent form.
And she's second in the French Oaks.
And
as
second
well
in the French
season.
Oaks. It's like maybe it is between Whirl and Kalpana. I'd probably give the... I think Kalpana's form is just simply better. Now, again, you're talking about fight for even money or that, but like that run at the Curra behind Los Angeles, when clearly she should have finished closer, maybe she should even have won the race. That's outstanding form. I know Los Angeles didn't do it at Royal Ascot, but he was performing on the day at his best that day, and she's done nothing but improve. She was phenomenal at Kempton last year. I remember when that was the race when she was back from like 5-2 into evens, when as much as Hamish disappointed after that race, PJ McDonald was raving about her, and she's completely backed that up. She was actually ridden by Oisin Murphy the last day, but Colin Keane takes over now. So she's had the top jockeys on her in recent times, and I think Colin will ride her with confidence. But over this trip on that sort of ground, she might have a bit too much pace for her. Very good horse.
And Colin doing well. We also have a lot of group races on Saturday. So we have, for example, the Dubai International Stakes in honour of Kevin Prendergast. Nice that they're giving an honour for Kevin, because he was so associated with the Curra as well.
Yeah, like Orta had winning all those years after his first classic winner was incredible. He trained literally within a whiff of the place, and it's nice that this has happened so soon. And we've had so many tragedies in racing in recent years. Kevin's passing will be a celebration of his life as well, because he nearly got to 93. What an unbelievable man. And it's definite that the Curra just won't be the same without him.
Absolutely. This is the Racing Pod on Off the Ball. If you're listening to the free version of the podcast, we're leaving you here. But if you're looking for more, including our look at the supporting races at the Curra on Irish Derby weekend and Johnny's charity bet, go to offtheball.com/join to subscribe and get the full podcast with all of our racing tips, insights and stories from the week's action.
Off the Ball Daily.
A home for your favourite podcasts from Off the Ball.
It's obviously a great moment for Keith Andrews. I think it's still a bit jarring for a lot of people, but I think what it is that it's also a great moment for set-piece coaches everywhere.
Subscribe to the Off the Ball Daily podcast feed right now.